We do have a sermon series that we've started. It's based on the book Flame of Love. Stephanie, did we get more books in? I know we sold the ones that we had. Is she here? Okay, so we haven't gotten them in yet. Flame of Love is the book. We're encouraging you to read along with us. You can order it on Kindle, or we'll have some more copies in by next, should have them by next Sunday to sell in the bookstore. And again, we want to understand and know what the Holy Spirit is doing and see His ministry at work, and that's what this is all about. So I want to introduce to you now our senior pastor, Raymond McDonald.
Well, guys, it's good to see you. We don't have a fancy song for you today because everyone's got to get home and start cleaning up, I guarantee you. Who still has mud in their house? Raise your hand right now. You are filthy people, and the Lord wants to bless you today. Tony LaBelle says he has not really had a lot to do where he's been at, so he's willing to come over and scrape a little mud up after he's done saving some people in his canoe. Do you say people in a canoe or a kayak? I can't see you in a kayak. Can you even get in a kayak? Can you imagine, Tony, stand up, Tony. Can you do that for us? Can you imagine Tony LaBelle showing up in a kayak saying he's going to rescue you? You'd say, well, where do I get in the boat? What do I do, you know? It'd be like wearing, like me wearing one of those little floaties for the kids or something showing up, you know. Hi, I'm going to save you. I'm sorry, you're a little too big for me to be making fun of. So if you came here today and hope to shake my hand on exit, I will be going out these doors here. So I don't mess with him, that's for sure. Thing is, that's part of the love. We kid because we care. But the issue, when we start talking about the flame of love in a situation like this here and the question of that, we're talking about that present flame of the Father, of God, of the Son and the Spirit. When you think of the fact of Moses meeting God by him presenting himself, the Father presenting himself in the burning bush, we see that flame. We see the pillar of fire leading the children of Israel through the night there as they were on that great journey that would lead them into the land. You think of that, the eternal presence of the there at the altar, the always burning, the candelabras that would burn within the temple. We always see this flame of presence that's there. We see even the heart, the issue of fire being that representative of the Father in many places there. But one of them, we say St. John of the Cross writes this thing that it is the presence of the Father being in the Spirit, that eternal flame of love that's there. And we look at it and say that the flame of love is the manifest presence of God brought by the Spirit. And as you look at that, and it's on your notepad, I want you to think of that when we start talking about flame of love. Is what we're talking about is the presence of God that's there, the love between the Father and the Son, as we talked about the identity of the Spirit being in the Trinity, having a Trinity identity, that we think of this sense of the Spirit bringing to bear upon us the love of the Father and the Son and their presence being in our area. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, that epicletic prayer, the epiclesis, we're saying, come and be manifest right here in this place. Touch us in a way that we've not known. We know you're with us, but touch us as you're there. Clark Pinnock, the writer of this book, the author of this book, wrote this here, most wonderfully, the Spirit is God's face turned toward us and God's presence abiding with us, the agency by which God reaches out and draws near, the power that creates and heals. And we think of that in the Spirit. And we love to talk about healing. Here in the Vineyard, we believe strongly that God's healing today. We pray for people. We lay hands on them, say, let the Spirit come and bring healing. And many of us have been healed in that process. But what we don't often talk about here is that first word, that creates. We don't often think about, of when we say the Spirit that is creating, the cosmic range to the operation of the Spirit, we often forget about. The Lord is the giver of life. And so we don't think of the Spirit in this creational way. And again, reading some more of Pinnock, he says this here, theology has diminished the Spirit's activities to smaller proportions in this sense, marginalizing this idea of creation. When we say Spirit, we start thinking about doing our devotional life. You know, maybe having saying speaking the Spirit in a Bible study, or the Spirit's here today because we're being very spiritual in that sense. And we forget about Holy Spirit being involved in that creational way. Author H.I. Laterly remarks, says this here, "For too long, the Spirit and His work have been conceived in too much of a limited sense." And when we think of the Holy Spirit this morning and think of creation, could we say that we have limited the Holy Spirit when we think, say, come Holy Spirit? Do we often think of Him being that creational force in that sense? He says, "There was a capitulation at the beginning of the modern era in which faith became restricted to the private devotional life, and the latter was then described as spiritual. The Spirit should not be limited to spiritual experiences," as we hear are charismatic in the sense we believe in the experiencing the Holy Spirit, shouldn't even be limited to our spiritual gifting. When we think of the Spirit, it's going to be much more than that. It's going to be that of creational force. The Spirit is at work in the world and should not be degraded to just an ornament of piety. Now, meaning this is a spiritual thing. So are you with me real quick when we say, come Holy Spirit? And we say, we're asking for this power of creation to come and move through this room. Not just something to make me feel good about Jesus, which, awesome. Wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know Jesus. I'm not just asking for the Spirit to come so that someone might have a word or explore or express themselves in some other gift, which is fantastic. We love that. But saying, let that strong wind, that breath wind, as it would be called, come and move across my life and begin to create and recreate in me things that are missing. That's what's happening when we pray for healing. When I pray for someone's healing, I always say, let that which they've been created, the body's been created to do, come back into the accordance of creation, a recreation of their body to come back to what it's supposed to do. When you begin to think of it that way there, guys, the Holy Spirit begins to move or mean a little bit more in what we're asking Him to do. And we say, come and be here. Come, Holy Spirit. Not just make me feel good, not just make me kind of get warm, though when the Holy Spirit moves on me, I get warm all over. And do you want? What are you doing so up, Joe? You're freaking me out. You don't ever sit up this front, and now you're up in the front, and I've just noticed your haircut. And so the thing is, Holy Spirit. Now I know that you cut his hair. His girlfriend cuts his hair, and it looks nice. But you're up front, and that makes it a little exciting. Now I want you to kind of. This is going to get you here, Joe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Genesis 1, 2. Okay, and we read that often, but I want you to think again of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. Brooding over the waters, some of the Bibles will say. Darkness, nothingness, formlessness. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see creation start to happen. Separation of dark and light. Boundaries begin to happen. Animal forms begin to happen because the Spirit is calling form out of chaos. I don't know about you, but this past week has been one of darkness and chaos in many places. And for those of us who are believers, those of us who rely on God, begin to see can we begin to see meaning? Can we begin to see purpose? Can we even begin to sense God's presence in the middle of such chaos? And I know the Ernsts are staying with me. They were airboated out of River Plantation yesterday, and they stayed with us. And they're sitting in our house, and they're laughing. And I started looking for the hip flask. I know they were liquored up. I mean, what are you laughing about, you know? But there's this sense of, you know, sum up for you guys is both of you have dealt with cancer in the last 3 or 4 years. You've seen things much more perilous than these things that float. And you show me pictures of your couches with water on them. If there's tater chips on my couch from the kids, I go crazy. I was freaking out when you showed me that picture. I'm like, oh, God, the house is going to have to be clean. Yes, it will be worse, and I will be gone. But the... Guys, for me, I grew up in a house as a young man that flooded 7 times on Greenspile. I grew up coming home and getting on a boat and taking it to home and walking in knee-deep water to my house. And so when I see flooding and I see the destruction and I see these things and I see the chaos and I see what has been put and separated right and this is our living room, and this is where we do this and do that, all of a sudden covered in water, and the boundaries have been transgressed. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus said this here, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And he had just said, come eat my flesh, come drink my blood. And everyone's getting all tore up. And he said, man, it ain't about the flesh. It's about the Spirit giving life. You're not following me. The Spirit gives life. And all the things we have and all the things that we have put as boundary markers for our lives often have nothing to do with what the Spirit wants to do, what the Spirit is doing, and what He won't overcome. Breath blows on everything, bringing life from death, beauty from ugliness, and peace from confusion, Pinnock would write. And Spirit introduces into the world the things of love, sustains life, gives it meaning. When I say, come Holy Spirit, I'm saying, would you give me a heart that can love again? Would you give me a heart that can believe again, that gets me up to rescue my neighbor, even when my own house is flooding? Yep, amen to that. The Spirit is the giver of life in the scene in all creation. If you're writing that down, write that very simple statement down. The Spirit is the giver of life and seen in all creation. Now you write that down, John, you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Think of it. Think of the ramifications of that. When we look at these kind of things, we're going to look at what the implications of such a statement might mean. That we could think today that the Spirit is the giver of life and seen in all creation. And the first thing we got to say is this here, is that means nothing is created that is not created by God, by the Spirit of God coming and bringing creation. Nothing can be created other than God. You can't create anything without taking something God has created and using it to create someone. Now, you can take God's creation and you can mar it, you can bend it, you can turn it for evil. For those who listen to heavy metal music, you know what I'm talking about. I'm kidding. If you're heavy metal, my son came to me yesterday and said, Dad, I'm going to start a heavy metal music band, and my name's going to be... I said, stop right there. You had me at heavy. But I'm kidding. I told him, you know, stay with blues, son. I will always love you. But my point is we have a tendency to say, that's bad right there. And I'll never forget when Christian rock music came to our corner of the world. That's nothing but wolves and sheep's clothing. And then I got in a Christian rock band and I came the wolf. But the Spirit of creation is not just found in sacred spaces, though, but it's present everywhere. That's the first implication of that. And I'm going to move quick here today. But you see, the Spirit of creation is not just in these places that we call sacred, like church. It's more than church, right? Would you agree with that the Holy Spirit is not bound by the front doors or the back doors or the side doors of this church? Because if he, she is, he got out yesterday because the doors were left open all day long to drive this place out. If that's what it was, the only place we might sense the Spirit is in the church. And hopefully when you leave, you have much more than that. Now, some of you say, you speak so ridiculous. But it's not that I'm speaking ridiculous. I'm trying to capture what our mindsets are. I'll never forget when I went to Switzerland, and we would play in bars over there. And I'll never forget one place. I was in this bar in Switzerland. We were a Christian band. We called ourselves Gospel Blues. And it was filled with Swiss pastors, and they said, man, people said they would never come into this place, and yet you're here. They've come today, and of course, they come up to me, and they walked right up to me and said, you've called us to this bar today, and they spoke with an accent. I won't mock Swiss accents. It's very pretty, though, but it sounds something like this. No, but they come up and said, why did you call us here, and your keyboard player, he's not a Christian? And I had this B3 player named Ralph Jordan, who was a guy who looked about as happy well, I won't do a metaphor, it could get bad, but he wasn't a happy cat. He was dark and brooding. And I said, why do you say he's not Christian? We asked him if he loved Jesus, and he said no. So I walked over to Ralph and said, why did you tell these pastors you don't love Jesus? It's already difficult enough to get them in this bar, and now you're telling them you don't love Jesus. Because I didn't tell them I didn't love Jesus. They asked me if I love cheeses. I hate cheese. Point is, there are no sacred spaces. God was there that day, that night as we played that bar and moved soundly. And that when we begin to think that he's present everywhere, and we begin to think that maybe he could even be in my ex-wife's house or something like that, that's scary. There it is. And I don't have an ex-wife, but if I did, the Holy Spirit is there, Ron. Not just because he's worshiped. The Holy Spirit is not just going where he is worshiped, because he's in all of life. Nothing is created that the Holy Spirit is not present there. So if you're breathing today, the Holy Spirit is moving within you. But not to the fullest extent of what we're talking about when we say, come Holy Spirit, move over my life. But anytime someone's healed, the Holy Spirit's done that. False religions cannot conjure the Spirit, but the Spirit might come and bring healing to somebody. It may not be salvific. It may not bring them to salvation in the way that we believe, but nothing can heal the Spirit in that way. They can call upon it in ways that are dark and not right, but this issue of the Spirit being the creational force is important for us to look today. Does it mean that every song is a Holy Spirit song? No, because some things become sacred in this, that I sacralize them, meaning when I come in this place, I sense the presence of God more, because to me, I sense the sacredness of this place. But if I was to come here and have a really bad fight and get beat up and left in a puddle of blood, I probably would never walk in this room and feel God the same way in that sense. Same with sacred songs, worship songs. They have words that move me closer to God, and therefore I feel his presence more. Okay? But it doesn't mean that actually it's a Christian song, because songs can't get saved. Some of you'd like to get saved. There's a lot of rap songs that I would like to witness to. And we want things that bring us into the presence of God. But to sit back and say a whole genre of music is secular would be wrong. As a blues musician, I was told that often. And I'll never forget hitting a flat 7 note. And for you musicians, you know, that's very bluesy. And I'm like, boy, you play another blue note, we're all going to go to hell. God told me in the Baptist church when I was young. The power of love is at work everywhere in the world, not just in the churches. And it means wherever we go that we can sense and call upon the Spirit and know he's with us. For me, it was in a bar that the Holy Spirit would come and speak to me to bring me back to my call to Jesus Christ. Came to me that night there over in Humble and said, are you happy? And I said, no. He said, stand up and walk out. I will fulfill the call of your life. And so I did. And so he did. And so this is powerful for us, because we often think that if we could just get someone in the right place, maybe they could feel the Holy Spirit and they could get saved. And the truth is, wherever they are at, the Spirit can come and speak into their ear and call upon their heart. He is pursuing them beyond even our prayers, but our prayers are powerful to be part of it. The first time that I got my life together was skipping school and listening to Jethro Tull. And the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to me, and I want to tell you, I don't think the Holy Spirit likes Jethro Tull, but that's okay. He does not like flute. I don't like flute, and he doesn't either, because I don't. Now, can I just sum this real quick with you? Psalm 139, favorite psalm. Psalmist writes, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. Well, of course he's there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. And for the Israelite to know that what was on the far side of the sea was pagan, If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I can't get away from your spirit. My house can't get watery enough to separate me from the love of God and the presence of God in your presence. It can't put out the flame of love. No one can. Spirit is there. Your spirit is there. Now, we like to make those sacred spaces, and that's cool. I think it's great. But when we look at this here, that God is everywhere in the church, the bar, the strip joint, even your ex's house, as I've said, we must realize that I want to engage in where I'm at. The Spirit is present in all human experience, Pentecost, right? And beyond it. There's no special sacred realm, no sacred secular split. Practically anything in the created order can be sacramental of God's presence. God is present to us in the creation, and the world is a natural sacrament. Now you might say, well, then that means that I can go worship the mountain. No. His presence is there, but it's not him. The mountain isn't God. It's his mountain. So you want to worship the deer? Oh, dear. But it's not worshiping God. It's worshiping things God has created, and we're certainly missing all that's there. We meet the Spirit in moments of joy. We meet the Spirit in moments of sadness. And for me, as a young man who struggled with depression all my life, I thought every time I was depressed, that meant I was devoid of God's presence, and I would sit and try to figure out what sin had separated me so I could get him back in the room and take care of business. And if you want to concentrate on the intricacies of your life, you're going to have some struggles. My point is, when I'm sad, when I've been in a car accident, Holy Spirit's there. I'm breathing. He's there. He's moving on my life. And today, we can be informed by what he's doing even in the time of this struggle of life that we have. I don't just encounter him with religion. One of the most wonderful times I've ever encountered the Holy Spirit was at a Jimmy Vaughn concert. For those of you who know, he's a blues player. He was Stevie Ray Vaughan's older brother. And I just remember that night being so awesome and feeling the Holy Spirit. Not because I was worshiping Jimmy Vaughn. He's an older guy. He's not that good looking. I was enjoying the music. And it touched me in a powerful way. A creational force that brought me into writing and brought me into playing. God is present in the give and take of relationships. God comes in compassion when we feel what we feel in the midst of brokenness, the dark night of the soul. God is there bringing about creational things in our life. We're never in this place where all of a sudden this is, I'm getting him now and now I'm not. If my mind is turned towards him, he's right there speaking. We struggle to hear him, but he doesn't struggle to speak. He's the giver of life itself, and he's presence in all of life. That was my first point. And I know what Becky just said. I hope the second one's shorter, and it could be, Becky. The second implication, the fact that the Spirit is creator of all life, is found in this fact that Spirit, as a creational force, is not yet done. You see, in one sense, creation is complete. God sat down and he certainly said, this is good. This is good stuff. And he rested. But had it been done, you and I would not be here today because we're still being created. You might say, well, no, you're created because your mother and father got together. But I'll say to you, sex does not equal pregnancy. For those who have struggled with having children, you'll understand. You may be able to come together, but you cannot create a baby. God continues to bring egg and sperm together. God creates those things. And if that's difficult language for you as a young child today, I'll lay off. The point is, God's hand is in these things. and he is the creation of person. But here's the thing. Even though creation's going on, its goal's never reached. It's not reached at this time. It's incomplete. It's unfinished. Only at the end of history will it be clear what the creation was meant to be, because then we would reach the goal. Pope John Paul II said, it's here that the Spirit, speaking of the Spirit, said, is the breath of life which causes all creation, all history, to flow together to its ultimate end in the infinite ocean of God. I mean, it's all going to a place. And when Jesus returns, we will know exactly what all creation is, because new creation will come. Do you understand that today he is moving in that way? Bringing creation to its goal is the main task of the Spirit. Bringing creation to its goal is the main task of the Spirit. The Spirit is the artisan who skillfully, through all ingenuity, sees to it that creative forms rise and move forward, bringing creation towards its fulfillment. Energizes, sustains the world. Like this artisan expresses himself in the universe in ways that respect the integrity of its forms and materials. Spirit is at work in history. Spirit is at work in all that we do, bringing us towards this end of creativity. Now you say, that's interesting, Raymond. Thank you so much. It's the power of creation. The Spirit does not call us to escape from the world nor from history, but keeps creation up going into the future. Now when I say this here, we bring ourselves to certain things. First of all, some of us would say today, well, when it comes to creation, I would say today that I am a creationist. I am a pure creationist. I sit with the model of sixth day, and someone over here might say, well, I believe there's evolution in there in a sense. Well, I want to say there's two sides to err on, and I think that's what I want to sit back and say today that we look at as we see the Spirit. Number one, if I'm a creationist, I could err here and say that's static. Today, creation is done right here now. And I could lose the sense of God's, the Spirit's sweep of bringing things into change. That evolutionarily, spiritually speaking, he's moving on me. Even physically changing me, in a sense, as I get older. If you looked in the mirror lately, you see those things. And those who might be evolutionists, especially if you're a macro evolutionist, believing that everything came from a primordial swamp today, I want to say to you, thank you for your great faith. But I would say, because it takes a lot from that one, but I'll tell you what, if that's what happened, the Holy Spirit's more than powerful enough to create in any way he wanted and do what he wanted, because his power to do and to change them is there. But the issue is today to say that if that's it, you could lose this whole sense of this divine intelligence that it takes to create. If you think that things could just pop into being, you've never looked at the hand, the fingers of life, DNA. It takes intelligent design to do the things that are there. And so my point is, when we look at all the creation, we can see the Spirit moving and everything. You look at a child growing. Even I've got a pig. And I see God in that. Jews wouldn't have believed it. But I see that pig was only a pound when I got him. And now he's turning things over. And during the storm, I reached out my window as I got down my knees and reached out my window to get my sump pump going. And that pig came out of nowhere and goosed me so hard. My point is, let's look at creation and see the Spirit moving. And if I believe the Spirit has the ability to change, I think it can change the heart of the one who has the hardest heart. I think it can heal the withered hand of my child. I think it can give a mind to my children who struggle maybe with IQ or with the ability to do school. This opens up. It's not static. Creation is not static. It continues evolving, moving towards fulfillment of what God's there. And you say, well, where do you stand on those things? I would say that these aren't the things that I believe I've come to preach today in that sense, nor do I think the word is. I think what's saying is creation, the power of creation, is in God's hand and moving and creating even today, and has the ability to move us towards a completion that's there. Now, the spirit creation is not static, but continually moving all things toward fullness and completion. Again, the evolutionist would say, well, that's evolution. Okay, well, you can call that evolution because he's evolving me to become the man of God I've created to be. That's what you want to go with. Because today, every day, he continues to move me towards the thoughts, the processes, the heart, what it means to be a man of God. And if you think when I say creation or spirit is in everything that's created, that also that means I think everything's equal, you would be very wrong. Because you're going to see at its apex the spirit showing the power of creation in the human being in the human form. And that is because, don't change that slide just yet, Ashley, because we're created in his image. Only man has been created in the image of God, and therefore the Spirit is moving powerfully in mankind, bringing them towards that fulfillment. And if he's shortening the monkey's tail or something, and that's what you got, fair enough, that seems exciting. But I find exciting as a man of God to know that he's changing and bringing about new creation in the life of everyone who's here. Healing our hearts, healing even our bodies. Created in God's image, we bear a resemblance to the divine subject and are able to be more conscious of his divine presence. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Move on me. Not just so I can express spiritual gifts, but so that I can turn into this man that you've called me to be, this woman you've called me to be. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, said this here. Grow me up before I grow old. For some of you, it's too late. You're old, but he's still growing you up. And understanding this creationist change means no matter what my age is, that I'm always evolving into that person God's called me to be and open to creation to change. Sometimes you just get too old to change. You can't. You can't. He's still moving. And Walter Bennett at 85 continues to represent. Did I miss your age again? I keep forgetting that. I don't even know how old you are anymore because I've completely obliterated the age limit for you. But I do. When he hits 85, he'll think he's been 85 for years. So that's it. I just mean this here. It blesses me when I look out and I see folks who've lived this life, who've been Christians all your life, changing, you know, to see the Kalers get up and go to Panama. You got to be kidding me. It's time to retire. That guy peddled more newspapers than Hearst himself. I tell you, this guy here had earned it. Nice home. Yeah, nice house, man. It's gone now. You got a nice house now. But you changed life. You said, I'm changing. I want the Spirit to come and move. I'm ready for the next part of life. It's more than flesh. It's giver of life. So God created mankind in his own image, as we see there in Genesis 1:27. Having said that, it stands to reason the Spirit's going to work hard on bringing people into God's presence. If humans are the highest order of that presence of the Spirit there, that means he's going to work hard on redeeming us, because this is where he's moving there today. He's calling us to this place of redemption in our lives. And I love taking care of God's created order. I think as human beings, we do take care. I don't go out and just shoot animals for the fun of shooting animals. Even when I was a kid, we were taught, if you're going to shoot it, you eat it. Or you got to take care of things you shoot. But we didn't just go down and just cut things down and clear cut and burn things just because that looks better with everything burned down. We took care of what God had given us, as we always do and should do. We don't dump poisons into the river. We don't anymore dump our oil down in the sewage drain, because we learn to take care of those things. And to the order you, the extent you take that, I don't know. I leave that with your conscience. The point is, we realize that even more than taking care of that stream, my brother over here, who's lost and hurt, becomes my horse. highest order, because I think that's where God's highest order is in that sense. Romans 8:18 says, I consider it our present sufferings that we have are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of the sons of God. Meaning this here, this world is not meant for entropy, but for redemption. We sit back and say, you know, entropy means you leave something alone, it'll just go into decay, and it will. But we're not moving in some fatalistic, entropic way. We are moving towards the redemption and the return of the sons of God. And I even feel, as I look around me, the trees going, oh, I hope you get saved, Raymond, because you are the hope of all creation as the return of the sons of God coming in this redempt the form as we walk into this, that the whole world begins to rise up in a sense, eagerly awaiting for the completion of it, the return of Jesus Christ. I get excited. Now, I don't know what the tree really feels, but there you go. That's what's going on. Some of you had trees fall in your house this week, and you could care less what the tree feels. Last thing, another implication of the Spirit is this here. The Spirit is bent on the law. That's not what Paul says. He said the Spirit is bent on freedom. And if you want to go back to the law, you're missing what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has died that you might have freedom. Don't go back to the law was what he was telling them. Yeah, don't go back to sin, but he was in Galatians talking about don't go back to the law. He's died to give you freedom. The Spirit of creation is not oppressive, but honors freedom. The Spirit of creation honors freedom. And that's so exciting. I think each of us go, I like that. I'm going to tell my parents that. Well, wait till you're 18, and then you can tell them that. But be ready to move out if you do. So, but with that, obviously, we're all moving to this place of walking in a way the Spirit communing with us and speaking to us. And so I moved to say this in 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all who are with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, meaning is here. As he speaks to me and I'm free, his purpose of setting me free is that he might lead me into becoming this one who looks like Jesus Christ, becomes like Jesus Christ, the new Adam, the one who's brought about new creation. And Joe Yardis has said, this is what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. I'm showing you this redeemed person in completion, completely redeemed in the sense I have been resurrected. Now, that's exciting. The problem with freedom is this here. It creates a space for me to make a decision. And anyone who's really sit down and given your child freedom, understand it feels good when you do that because you feel like a big timer. But you also realize this here, then they get to make a decision. So when will I see you tonight? I think I ain't coming home tonight. What do you mean? Well, you said, I get to make a decision. I ain't coming home tonight. Well, you, that's when you say stuff like, why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the idiot's house. Knock, knock. Who's there? The chicken. So, I mean, this is the thing. It's because you're saying, I gave you freedom to make the decisions I told you how to make. And we make decisions in this life that don't align themselves with the kingdom. That's part of being human. And only a free creature can fulfill the destiny that God's called us for. Can't be reprogrammed alongside the freedom to love is the freedom not to love. Alongside the freedom to be responsible is the freedom to be slothful and disobedient. So when we struggle with pain, when we see the issues of the weather and the flooding, we realize even creation is having decisions basically, or it's acting in ways that we don't like. We don't like its freedom. Because this, you know, this is El Nino. That's not supposed to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But the boundaries have been transgressed. They've crossed. And therefore we flood and bad things happen. Human beings, when you have an El Nino inside of your heart, meaning you're going to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. You cross the boundaries. You live life against the grain of God's created order. And you bring about the flooding and destruction and the windstorms in the lives of other people, including your own. And we hurt and we maim and we kill. We drive massive vehicles under the influence of things we shouldn't be under. We make decisions which hurt and bring pain. And so today when we begin to realize this issue of the spirit of creation, of freedom, we come to the realization of this here, that part of this creative order will be pain, struggle. But it doesn't mean the absence of the Spirit. The Spirit is present. And the Spirit is present in the midst of these difficulties, in the midst of this pain, in the midst of all that's going on. Even when we have wrought the pain, the Spirit is calling us into redemption and pulling at us, saying, let me recreate. Let me heal. Let me take away that which terrorizes you every night in your sleep. Let me take away your shame that you spend a whole life building up. Let me take away all that you, the guilt you feel for decisions you made when you were young. Let me come and blow across you. Let the floodwaters recede in your life. Let me take all that which is destructive and begin to remodel, rebuild, and restore. And as we see the floodwaters receding here, Conroe, we have the opportunity to see what it means for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of creation. We can look in the natural and see what's happening in the spiritual, the rebuilding process of what the Spirit is calling us to. For creation is not static, but continually moving forward, calling us to a purpose, a role, a destiny, a telos. Would you stand with me now? I say, come Holy Spirit, and if you wish to today, just to turn your hand up, and I'm just asking him to come. And Lord, what I heard today was that you are everywhere, and I can't go somewhere from your presence. I tried to run. I've tried to hide. I've tried to drink you away. I've tried to smoke you away. I've tried to take care of things so that you would leave me alone. And yet you continue to pursue me like some hound of heaven. And today I just say, yes, I'm tired of fighting you. I am in chaos. So Holy Spirit, would you come and hover over my life and begin to pull life itself out of the destruction, out of the blended boundaries. I am confused. I don't even know who I am, what I should do. But you come and begin to bring clarity. What is dark? What is light? What is land? What is sea? Would you create in me? Bring out new things of life. Let your Spirit begin to move with me with peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Would you take away the bitterness? Would you take away the pain? And Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. For my life has been static. You created me and it was good. But I stopped there. I stopped the moment I said, yes, Jesus, take my life. And I walked down that aisle and I bought a cross and hung it on my neck and read the Bible. But I've quit growing. And I'm asking you to come and begin to generate again in me spirit of love, spirit of faith. I'm ready to take the next step. I'm ready for my life to get on board with you. And I'm asking you to come, Lord, in the midst of all this, this freedom of choice I've made in my life and others have made, have wreaked havoc and storm. And I'm asking for you to come and bring healing today. And for some of us, Lord, the true storm has come, and my goods lie under water. the boundaries have been transgressed. I don't know what I will do. We want to pray with you in these matters today. And some of you, it's physical. Your body is fighting against you. And we're saying, come, Holy Spirit, would you come and begin to heal the bodies, the hearts, the finances, the families, the hope and love and dreams of your people. Come, Holy Spirit, right in this place. And as I laid that prayer up, I want to invite you to come down, especially if you've suffered harm during this week, that we could pray. We won't keep you long. We'll respect your dignity. Pray with you. To pray with you with any of those things I spoke. I invite you to come down right now. I'll wait just here a second. See the hand of God in the healing process and the rebuilding process, restoration of your life, of your home. For some of you, it's family. Some of you, it's things of these natures. We don't know. For some of you, it's just giving up. Come, Holy Spirit. And if you haven't come and you needed to come, you know that. I ask the Holy Spirit to just move now. Just move over this place. For those who've come forward, even especially now, as you've walked into this place. Again, we said there's no sacred spaces, but your faith is called out to him to walk to this place here. Let your faith speak out to him. Come, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to wash over them. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. The very Spirit which created the earth, the very Spirit that has moved over and brought complete countries into existence. Come, Holy Spirit. Begin to bring hope again, renew, healing, dreams again to abound, what has been dead to life, for homes that have been wet to be dried out, for to find favor in this process. Come, Holy Spirit. As they stand here, I'm going to ask some of you to come just around them quickly. Come on down if you're on the ministry team, meaning that you've went through training. And they just... in that process. And as they come around you, they're going to pray with you. You may not want them to. You can tell them to skedaddle if you want to. They're coming to the front. We got some. Slather them. Love on them. Spirit of love has come. Come on. And if you come down, they want prayer now. Just. So even more now as the Spirit is moving. I ask that you be blessed today as you go home. May the Lord bless you even as the sun has come out today. May his face shine upon you and may be gracious to you. And may you seek that which you seek. Be blessed in his shalom and his kindness and goodness. Be blessed in the name of the Son who's come to bring you into this kingdom life, to the redemptive blood, the redemption of life. And be blessed in the name of the Holy Spirit. Let all creation that groans and waits come now and begin to create in you again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.